Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We've got a lot to get to today. An unexpectedly dismal jobs report. It's unexpected if you haven't been paying any attention to this administration and how, really, if I could pick someone who kind of personifies this administration, it would be Leroy Jenkins. I mean, everything they touch just manages to fall apart. And I wanted to point out one other thing before I move on here, because a lot of texters are throwing it out there, and I agree. This shift to blaming everything on Omicron, which, by the way, doesn't pass the smell test, because we were told Biden was going to shut down the variant or shut down the virus. So this still falls under that umbrella, I would think. To be fair, though, when he tweeted that in 2020, he didn't say how long it was going to take him. So maybe he said, I will shut down the virus. And then he whispered after he tweeted it, in 4 years, it will take me 2 terms to get it under control.
You know, it's like how you say, someday I'll see Paris.
Yes. It's more of like a nice thing to say. It's a dream, really. I'm dreaming of shutting down the virus. So this entire idea that he's not responsible for it because it's a new variant, that's what Jared tried to pull. He's like, oh, it's a new variant.
Time out. I didn't try to pull that.
It felt like you were trying to stick up for him.
I was saying, as the defender of Biden would say.
Yeah, but that is such a cop-out. That is like when you get in Absolutely. Trouble when you're in high school and you say, yeah, I went to the party. You said I couldn't go out. You didn't say I couldn't go to the party. I don't know. It just seems like such immature reasoning. He told us he was going to shut down the virus. I thought that meant all of it. And here's another thing. So they want to blame the jobs report on Omicron, which we just found out about last week. So I don't know. I don't see how that one adds up. They want to blame...
Or did we?
They want to blame people not wanting to work in retail on Omicron. They want to blame, every single bad thing on Omicron. Omicron is the new and improved COVID-19. And if you ever tune into the Daily Beast, if you read their stuff, God help you, first of all. But second of all, they had a headline yesterday that was like, super mutated variant. And then if you read into the piece, it says that the case they found in the United States, the guy's doing okay. Mild symptoms, he's doing all right. But
Teenage
I guess
mutant super mutated variant turtle.
I guess guy doing okay after he gets Omicron doesn't get as much clicks as super mutated variant. It's almost like they're trying to make people panic. Anyway, my entire point being, on the long list of things they're going to try to pin on Omicron, next they're going to tell us that one of those German shepherds bit someone because he was scared of Omicron. You know, it caused a real fright. Who knows? Well, everything's going to be blamed on it. Joe Biden's, stumbles if he falls up the stairs. He was scared of Omicron. Well, the other thing they're trying to pin on this.
Omicron ordered the drone strike.
Yes. Oh, and you know what, though? Omicron was also responsible for Afghanistan. But it was historic, so we got to give Omicron that one. So Joe Biden, they're trying to blame everything on this variant. And the one that was really funny yesterday, I don't know if people saw this. I know some of my texters did. Is Peter Ducey was asking about crime. And I would say going into 2022, crime is very much up there for people. I had a caller call in last week and said, Hingham is starting to get a lot of robberies and break-ins. So this crime is starting to leave the cities and it's starting to make its way into the suburbs. And that's when people are really going to get freaked out and start voting. But Jen Psaki, Peter Ducey was asking about all these organized robberies. Some people, some archaic people like Howie Carr, like to call that looting. Not here. This is a woke show. We call this undocumented shopping. And Psaki tried to blame it on the pandemic.
This is a house of learned doctors.
And I was looking at the responses on social media, and people were like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You get a runny nose, you know, you feel a little tired, heavy breathing, and then the other symptom of this virus is I got to go steal a bunch of stuff from Home Depot. That is next
I'm
on my list.
I'm scared of Omicron. I need new shoes.
Yeah, I'm like, honey, will you go out and grab me some NyQuil and also make sure you ransack the CVS? It's just this variant. It's got me all down in the dumps. Go in and take all the deodorant. That would be really nice. It doesn't make any sense, but nothing makes any sense. And we'll keep talking about this, 844-500-4242. We're also going to talk about, speaking of things that don't make any sense, Alec Baldwin's terrible interview. I stand by everything I said yesterday. I'm pretty confident that I predicted that going about as well as it did. It was a train wreck. And I was kind of starting to feel a little bad for him when I saw the teaser. And then I read the headline in the Post today that he tried to blame the victim. The woman, Helena Hutchins, who's dead. We'll get into all of that. But what I wanted to start with, I'm like already 5 minutes into the segment. What I wanted to start with is this guy, Brian Kelly. Now, I made a mistake in the first segment, or in the first hour of the show, which luckily you all pointed out very quickly, which is he's not the coach of a basketball team, according to our experts, our sports fanatics. He's a football coach, and he was at Notre Dame, and he left to go to LSU. And for some reason, and I'm not going to get into it, I'm not going to pretend to know what I'm talking about, for some reason that caused a lot of drama. I think he'd been at Notre Dame for a long time, and it was all over the news. I thought there was more. I thought there was more scandal involved, but I think it was just kind of hurt feelings. Maybe I'm missing something. Jared's going to do a little.
I believe there was some type of scandal-esque incident, but I cannot confirm that. I'm going to check into that now.
Thank you. Make sure you do all your research there. The only research I wanted to do for this was the actual sound, because I just saw a fake Southern accent, and I thought I don't need to know anything else. I don't need to do any oppo research, any background research. I hear a fake Southern accent, and I think, this is some good stuff. We're going to have some fun.
Yes, apparently there were multiple scandals with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
Any that stick out to you?
He was there for 7 years, and I think he got into like one of those photo issues that the Jaguars coach Urban Meyer had a couple. Like he was photographed with co-eds or something like that.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, he's had a few bad moments. But, you know, we don't even really need to delve into it because I just want to play his fake accent and talk about other people who do fake Southern accents.
Yeah, there
accents.
Are issues with the culture of the football program. Another complaint.
Got it. All right. So this is his cut. Now he's at LSU and he went viral yesterday because people were confused at why this guy from Everett, Massachusetts sounded like he was a cowboy. Cut 24.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University. Thank you.
The family was the best. It's between the family and the, more importantly, the family. He really had his Southern drawl.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
I do declare
my little heart can't take no more. Oh boy, it's like molasses falling out of your mouth.
My peaches, what a wonderful office you got yourself, yeah? Certainly got yourself a lucrative business, don't you?
What comes over these people? I'm sorry. I'm in front of a mic all the time. Humble brag, I guess. And I don't think I've ever had the desire, unless I'm impersonating Andrew Cuomo, Dr. Fauci, Joe Biden. I don't put on accents. It's just weird. Do you ever have those kids in school who you knew were like from your town and they put on a Boston accent?
Yeah, they sound like Damon and Affleck when they're trying to do the Boston accent.
Yeah, it's like, no, we grew up down the street. There's no way your voice is that different.
Nah, we're going to park the wicked cow over there.
Yeah, you're gonna go to Packy? Do you guys go to Dunk's yet? And here's the thing. I have no issue with Boston accents. My whole family really has them.
But
me and my siblings don't. We're from Milton.
The affectation of the Boston accent.
What do you think, Jared? Worst movie accent of all time? We know the worst accent's Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
I have mine.
I'm going to say Leonardo DiCaprio's Irish accent in Gangs of New York.
I'm going to say Mark Wahlberg's accent
in anything.
The Departed.
It
was the weirdest thing because he was
that
the
was
only
wicked not good kid.
I mean, obviously Matt Damon, I think he's from like Cambridge or something, but Mark Wahlberg's from Dorchester. So he was the only one who you'd think would have like a real authentic accent. He overdid it so much that it was just way too forced. And the weirdest part about The Departed, it's a great movie, I love it. The weirdest part is that the best accent, in my opinion, was actually from Leonardo DiCaprio, mostly because he didn't try to have one. But everyone who tried to have them, it was painful. I got to hear
it. I'm going to change that. Kevin Costner trying to do a Boston accent in the movie 13 Days about JFK and the Cuban Missile Crisis. That might be the worst accent. I may have to find some of that
to point out
how terrible it is.
Jared, I think you are going to have to find some. Here we go. We got Taylor Cormier. This is going to be, just so everyone knows, get ready to go on your Google machine because this movie's going to be from at least before 1915.
No, you are incorrect. The worst accent I've ever heard is Tom Hanks in Catch Me If You Can.
That is such a good call.
He says, that is a horrible accent. Get them down here from Dorchester.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're that actually does beat Mark Wahlberg. It's painful. This could be, people are calling in about this. 844-500-4242. Can I get, and I know, I'm jonesing for it. Can I get Hillary one more time? I just love, I almost wish she talked, if she had talked like that all the time, I would have been a bigger fan of hers.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far.
I've come too far from where I started from.
What's this strange Yankee accent coming out of your mouth, son? This here is Savannah.
So this coach, Brian Kelly, he got a lot of grief. People do not let you live that down if you fake an accent. Kamala Harris, I mean, the only one I remember her doing was a fake French accent. And I didn't think that was that bad. It probably wasn't polite. But she didn't actually think she was from France, you know? With Hillary, strange.
I don't feel no ways tired.
And it's also like, do you not think people can Google you? Like, I Googled this dude, Brian Kelly, in 40 seconds, and it said Everett, Massachusetts. Does he think he's going to fool the people in the auditorium? Like, they're like, oh, yeah, he's one of us. He's from here. You can tell by the way he says family. Strange stuff. We'll be right back.
This here is Savannah.
Now more than ever, there are so many reasons to be a grateful nation. In large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and this is my favorite part, give the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. That is something I think a lot of people are forgetting as time goes on, and it's very important. A $15 donation, that's all it is, a $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreath have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veterans wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
this here is Savannah.
It's amazing. You talk about bad accents and everyone has 2 cents. I mean, my Twitter now is just full of people responding. Martin Sheen when he played Bobby Kennedy in 1974. It's all these different things.
So I was talking about Kevin Costner, and this is a movie called 13 Days. He's playing Kenny O'Donnell, JFK's secretary.
Okay.
And this is Kevin Costner doing a Boston/Kennedy accent.
Oh.
Dad, will you sign my permission slip for tomorrow?
Give it to your mother.
Your mother's arms are full. You got time for pancakes?
Nope.
Give us another one, Dad.
Secretary of Defense.
Dean Rusk.
Wrong. And you get to wax my car.
You get to wax my car. I actually heard that Natalie Portman had a pretty bad accent in that Jackie O movie she did a few years ago. The Kennedys, that's tough. Surprised.
It's a tough accent.
It's tough. You don't want to overdo it. That's like with any accent, though. You got to keep it. You got to try your best and not overstep, because when it feels like it's too much, people get sick of it.
Yeah, I remember I was watching a baseball movie and it was about the Yankees, and Mel Allen was a great baseball announcer for the Yankees, and the guy that played Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore had to do the Mel Allen, and he said, "I made a conscious effort to speak in his style but not try to imitate him."
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you got to do.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think anyone ever... I think that's like a misconception with Boston movies, is that when actors play characters in some of these, you know, Whitey Bulger movies, for example, they think they have to have an accent or else we're all going to sit there and see the movie and go, they don't sound like they're from Boston. And really,
he's in trouble.
Ma'am, I'm sorry to have to tell you, your son is forging checks.
Forging checks? Wait, I'm sure we can take care of that. I'm working part-time at the church now. Just tell me how much he owes and I'll pay you back.
So far, it's about $1.3 million.
That's Tom Hanks in Catch Me If You Can. You know who was actually, in The Town, John Hamm played, I think, an FBI agent, and he was great. He didn't put on an accent. He was just John Hamm.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there is a bit of an accent in the area. We all know that, but there's really kind of a small section that has that specific accent that everybody tries to attribute to anybody from New England when they're in Hollywood.
You know, it's a dead... like a dead ringer accent is if you know someone and they don't call it chicken parm, they call it chicken palm. I've said this before, I thought it was actually called chicken palm until I was 15 years old. And it's not because I was saying it like, you know, in an accent. It's just how my parents said it my whole life.
Another authentic one, butter.
Butter.
They get butter.
That's a little New York too, though.
Yeah, but
coffee.
Butter. Butter.
All right, coffee. Jared, I'm cutting us off. I'm cutting us off.
We got real stuff to talk about.
Today's poll question is brought to you
Enough of that.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Just for our listeners, save $200 on the 3-Pack through this Sunday. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose arrogance is the most astounding?
I do declare.
Alec Baldwin, Dr. Fauci, Andrew Cuomo, or Jussie Smollett?
Well, you know who probably would be great in an accent is Jussie Smollett, because he really commits. he would move to the location.
This
here
MAGA country.
Yeah, he would really learn the accent. I'm going to say who's the most arrogant. Well, you know what? I know people are going to disagree with me, but you might change your mind when I read you this Alec Baldwin story. Based off his interview last night, it takes a certain kind of psycho to allegedly shoot someone and then try to play the blame game, and the person you decide to point your finger at is the person who's no longer here. That is a level of arrogance that I have not come across in my
time. Stop hitting yourself.
I'm going to say Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin is polling at 25%. Dr. Fauci in the lead at 57%, 16% for Andrew Cuomo, and 3% for Jussie Smollett.
And you know what the other thing about Alec Baldwin is? I have no doubt that this has been extremely traumatizing for him, but in some situations, you shouldn't tell people that you are having a hard time because it just comes off wrong. Like, she's dead, and now you're telling us you have nightmares. I'm sorry, but it doesn't look good, you know? Keep it to yourself. Tell your wife. We'll get to all of that when we return. 844-500-4242. Plus, Stacey Abrams is running for governor of Georgia, and here I thought she already was. We'll get to it all when we return.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I understand, but just remember, as we say here in the South, my house is like a church, always open to all, but especially on Sundays.
That's not even a saying down here. You're from Massafrickin'-tusets.
You're from Everett, coach. Yeah, so every day I text Howie and I say, how do you think the show sounds? And I'm sure he gets annoying. And he'll respond back and go, sounds good. Sounds fine. And so I just get a call from Howie during the break. And I get so nervous because I'm like, oh no, he's going to tell us to stop talking about Boston accents. He's mad. He's going to say, hey, move on from this. Nobody cares. And instead he calls me and says, you got to find the trailer of the fake Boston movie where they just talk about all the places.
Got to find the trailer.
You got to find it. People will love it, Grace. And this was a little sketch thing by Seth Meyers, one of the only funny things I've ever seen him do.
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers. He's from Boston, too, I believe. And he did a fake trailer for a Boston movie, and this is one of the best parts of it.
And loaded with geographical references to cities and towns in Massachusetts and the greater Boston area.
I can meet you in an hour in Worcester.
How about Medford?
How about Dorchester?
How about Gloucester?
How about Taunton?
I'm a cousin Axe from Taunton.
Wicked. Wicked. So do you want to meet there?
Nah. How about Weymouth?
How about Revere?
What about Somerville?
How about Marblehead?
How about Arlington?
What about Brockton?
How about Swampskin?
All right, what are we meeting? Braintree.
That conversation goes on for 10 minutes.
That trailer, I will tweet it out. It does nail every aspect of those movies. But I have to admit, there are a lot of movies that are, you know, based in Southie or, you know, like Good Will Hunting and all those movies. And you can rewatch them a million times. They are good movies. They do stand the test of time. All right. Now, speaking of Hollywood, speaking of movies, someone who's very worried about his movie career right now is Alec Baldwin. And there's a great piece by Maureen Callahan from the New York Post where she talks about his sit-down interview. Now, I guess what they did, and maybe is Taylor back there? Can he clear this up?
No, he actually just stepped out for a moment.
Taylor told me they did something sneaky, like they put out the trailer, and then to watch the interview, you'd have to have like a Hulu subscription or something.
Yes, I believe it did air on Hulu. That's showbiz for you.
That's
am
a
I
tease.
Right?
I don't like that at all. What do they think they are? Jussie Smollett giving us the dry run? No, we want the real thing.
So you have to pay to watch. I believe you have to pay for Hulu. So you have to pay to watch this interview.
Did you pay?
I did not.
We could probably get away with it with the company card.
We probably could, but I don't know if the mailroom manager would support my Hulu subscription.
Yeah, we just keep it for a year and say, hey, listen, we really had to watch that Alec Baldwin interview over and over again. So this interview, though, Maureen Callahan breaks it down. I do have a little bit of sound. It's pretty unbelievable. I'm going to skip around here, but I think it's worth reading. Just when you think Alec Baldwin can't go any lower, he blames Halyna Hutchins, the woman he shot to death, for getting shot to death. Everything is at her direction, Baldwin told George Stephanopoulos during a jaw-dropping hour-long interview that aired Thursday night. I'm holding the gun where she told me to hold it. Now, Jared, if we have any of the audio that I'm reading, just give me a high sign and we'll play it after. I'm holding the gun where she told me to hold it, Baldwin said, which ended up right below her armpit, which is what I was told. I don't know. There was so much Baldwin claimed not to know. Oh, he did the old, speaking of Boston, he did the old Billy Bulger. I do not recall. That's something we'd have to have Howie to really nail that accent. But he just tried to claim he didn't know things. And Stephanopoulos, his longtime friend from the Hamptons, not that the average viewer would know that, was only too eager to pitch softball after softball. This should come as no surprise. This is what he does. Those interviews, whether it's with Alec Baldwin or Joe Biden or Barack Obama or anybody, they're always wonderfully sugar-coated and edited afterwards.
Never forget, George Stephanopoulos is not a journalist, nor is he a newsman.
No, he's a old Clinton guy, right?
Yeah, he was essentially, I mean, I think he was the press secretary, but essentially he was the head of the Bimbo Eruption Squad.
By the way, not to go too far off this, but I'm starting to get in the habit of just veering off path here. Did you ever watch that show, Impeachment?
I don't believe I did.
Was it was the recent one on FX.
Oh, no.
With Monica Lewinsky?
No, I didn't see that.
My mom said it's interesting because they have all these actors playing like young versions of all the people you know today. And
it was like when David Schwimmer played Robert Kardashian.
Yes, yes. So it's
OJ thing.
It's an actor who plays, there's an actor who plays Jake Tapper hitting on Monica Lewinsky at a bar. There's an actor who plays George Stephanopoulos. So it's really funny. It's like a who's who of all of these, you know, hacks that just kept
Clinton
failing
scumbaggery.
Upward. Yeah. All right, now back to this. Let's focus up here, people. Stephanopoulos was happy to help. Yes, one of ABC's leading journalists, I use that term loosely, hardly challenged Baldwin when he claimed repeatedly that he never pulled the trigger, that the gun just went rogue. We do have
it
that
wasn't gun. In the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
Now, this is quotes from retired FBI agent Bobby Chacon. He said, "The bullet striking and killing that woman came out of the barrel of the gun pointed directly at her. Bullets don't curve. He isn't in the Matrix. The trigger would have to be pulled." And now Steve Wolf, who's a Hollywood firearms and special effects expert since 1994, also has a lot of quotes in this article, and they're very, very good. He says, "I'm not aware of any gun firing itself." And then he talks a little bit about single action revolvers and how things work. And he brings up a really excellent point that I had not thought about. He said, "It's really important to discredit anyone who claims that guns fire themselves. If this becomes an acceptable defense, there goes any accountability when it comes to shooting people. We can't have this kind of gun shoot themselves thing. They don't." Perhaps, Maureen Callahan writes, Baldwin is in denial. That's the generous interpretation, but it's hard to feel generous toward him when he and his wife have been behaving so deplorably. That would be his wife, Ilaria. Also, you know what she has in common with Brian Kelly? Fake accents, and they're both from Massachusetts.
And how do you say anything? Cucumber?
Cucumbers.
How you say Massachusetts? Now, Maureen breaks down the recent things they've been doing. I think it's worth repeating. There was the jaunt to Vermont immediately after the shooting, shopping at Ralph Lauren and buying out a local tavern, sitting right in front of the window where paparazzi could get unobstructed pictures. Yeah, they actually, when they went back to New York City, they went to this like hot sushi joint where all the celebrities go when you want to be photographed. So they're not trying to lay low by any means. Then came the bizarre, this is my favorite, roadside press conference in which Ilaria yelled self-righteously at the press while angling to get in every camera frame. All quickly followed by the gross Instagram post on Halloween and after, raving about how their children are, while Hutchins' only son, only 9 when she died, was so traumatized he couldn't speak for 2 days after her death. They were posting pictures of, you know, how happy their kids are. On Thursday morning, hours before this interview aired, Baldwin was photographed going for coffee and loading up his car, en route to the Hamptons, no doubt, while his gross fraud of a wife, ooh, Maureen Callahan, not holding back. Wow. While his...
Cucumber?
Cucumbers.
While his... You know what we're going to have to play, too, eventually, is this is a very, very mean interview toward Alec Baldwin, but it's in the New York Post, so we have to consider the source, because they don't like Alec Baldwin. I just want everyone to remember that.
Consider the source.
That's always in the back of my mind. You know, no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I am, I say to myself, what would Alec Baldwin do? And then I think he would consider the source.
Consider the source.
So they're en route to the Hamptons while his gross fraud of a wife, Ilaria, strutted around in metallic leggings, 4-inch heels, and a gold $1,900 Montclair vest. Now, Thursday's little gambit, Baldwin attempting to elicit sympathy while pointing the finger at everyone else, was an epic miscalculation. I thought the same thing before I even saw it. I thought, who's ever advising this guy clearly cannot get a hold of him or can't get through to him is probably the better way to put it. He truly believes we'll feel sorry for him. Alec Baldwin, one of Hollywood's biggest bullies and rage monsters, attempting to squeeze out tears as he laments how this has ruined his love of movie making. Stephanopoulos is equally to blame here. This was an embarrassing line of questioning. This is George Stephanopoulos, okay? What was it that drew you to this project in the first place? To Rust. That's the name of the movie. Maureen Callahan writes, who cares? What is this? An episode of Access Hollywood? people who are watching this show, Baldwin said, you have no idea how unique a motion picture set is. The amount of care, .. Care? That's rich given what we know about this set. The 7 crew members who walked out that very morning over documented safety concerns, at least 2 accidental gun discharges, 1 accidental special effects explosion, and a young, inexperienced armorer. But hey, sure, let's go with care. I looked at all these. I should, you know, he's got a little bit of a Joe Biden whisper too, Alec Baldwin. I looked at all of these people and I see how hard they work and they're so conscientious. And you're part of the great collaborative processes in the world, movie making. Here's the essence of this tragedy. It was just a movie, a fast, cheap, and out of control production that cost a young wife and mother her life. In speaking to me a few weeks ago, Wolf presented an interesting hypothetical, and I had read this article originally, and it stuck with me because it's a great way to put this. This gun expert, Wolf, he's a Hollywood firearms and special effects expert. He said, if that scene required Alec Baldwin to put the gun to his head and pull the trigger, I'm sure he would have taken a look inside the gun, wouldn't you? Maureen Callahan says, if only Stephanopoulos had asked that question. Instead, we learn that Baldwin now has nightmares, poor him, and feels no guilt and fully expects Hutchins' widower, Matt, to sue, but is feeling pretty confident that he won't be charged criminally and that Matthew won't come after him personally. Someone is responsible for what happened, Baldwin said, and I know it's not me.
Someone is responsible for what happened, and I can't say who that is, but I know it's not me. I mean, I honest to God, if I felt that I was responsible, I might have killed myself if I thought I was responsible. I don't say that lightly.
Man, that guy will shoot anything, huh?
After this interview and Baldwin's callous demeanor these past few weeks, Matthew Hutchins, especially, might feel differently. I thought the same thing. You know, there was a lot of talk when this first happened that Alec was in touch with the family and the husband was reaching out and, you know, like they were going to be able to wrap this up with a nice little bow. If I'm Alina Hutchins' husband and, you know, my prayers and my condolences go out to that entire family and I'm watching that interview and this guy's saying he feels no guilt. And there is a difference. Like, I get that maybe he's saying it from a legal perspective. But you can feel guilty about something and still argue that it's not your fault. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, something horrible can happen, and it doesn't mean you deserve to go to jail or you purposely did it. But feeling guilt is a very normal human feeling. Short of being a sociopath, I don't know how you could have this happen and not feel guilt. Let's play cut 2.
Well, but no, sometimes they wouldn't demonstrate to me. Some insisted on demonstrating. They would do the demonstration for everybody there right before we rolled the camera or rehearsed. Then there were others who they didn't do that because I trusted them to do the job. Believe me, I would do anything in my power. I would do anything in my power to undo what was done. I don't know how that bullet arrived in that gun. I don't know. But I'm all for doing anything that will take us to a place where this is less likely to happen again.
You know what I'm very curious about? This is a movie set. How much footage do we have of this day? I mean, even now, something happens, take Kyle Rittenhouse, any case. There's always video footage now. The only one who didn't luck out with video footage was Jussie Smollett. And he had tried so damn hard to get the right shot, the right angle. He was working on the lighting. He was working on the acting. He was, you know, checking the weather report. And the camera just wasn't on that day. It was unfortunate. It was facing, like, the wall. It just got 2 minutes of a brick wall or something. But I'm thinking on the set of a movie, everyone's got cell phones. Everyone's got rolling cameras. The woman he shot was a cinematographer. So I don't know if he has a guarantee that there's no footage of this, but these are bold claims to be making if you're not sure whether or not there's footage.
And if he did fire this as part of a scene and this was not rehearsal, the cameras would have been rolling.
Right. And you
know, because you would have been filming the scene.
Yeah, and you're right. And that's something I don't get. He says, I would never point a gun at anyone, Baldwin said, despite his earlier assertion that Hutchins had told him to point the gun at her, and so he did. So he's trying to say, oh, she told me to point it at her, but then he also says, I would never point a gun at anyone. I'm not an inspector.
She practically wanted to be shot.
This guy, the ego on this man is... It's breathtaking. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Many people walk around not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth. That is no way to live. You want to smile big and bright, and you want to have confidence when you walk in somewhere. And I think you'll be shocked at how much your smile has to do with that. If you watch these video testimonials, a lot of these people, they thought about it for a very long time. They hemmed and hawed. And then once they got it done, they said, damn, I should have did this 10 years ago, because it really changes your whole essence. It changes how you feel. It changes, you know, the way you talk to other people and your confidence. And that's the great thing about Dr. Houghton. He's an artist. He makes your smile perfect for you. It's not going to look like anyone else's. It's just perfect for your face. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. The staff is awesome. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today. And look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Look up their video testimonials. I always say, don't take my word for it. And you can't take my word for it. I would never lie to you guys. But also, if you look at these and you see people who trusted Dr. Houghton and they say it was the best decision they ever made, I think you'll know that you're in good hands. That's perfectsmiles.com. We'll be back after the break with more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Who has a lot of vivid dreams, but I have dreams about this constantly now. I wake up constantly where guns are going off. These images have come into my mind and kept me awake at night, and I haven't slept for weeks, and I've really been struggling physically. I'm exhausted from this because I got to try to be there for my kids. And my family's all I have. I mean, I honest to God, I couldn't give up my career anymore.
Ugh. I know. It's like... What about her? What about her family? Was the entire interview him talking about how hard this has been for him?
Yeah, I couldn't find the actual audio of it, but I read. He said there were two victims here, and he's a victim too. I tried to find that audio. I could not find it.
And you know what?
That is
It's so
awful.
Obnoxious. It's so obnoxious. And I was talking to someone about Alec Baldwin yesterday, and this friend of mine had a good point. He said, you know, all these things happen. Like, he had the voicemail with his daughter a few years ago. He called her like an ungrateful little pig or something.
That phone dialed itself.
Yeah, it did. It did. And he also had that rage incident where he fought somebody about a parking spot in New York City, I believe it was. And it's all these things. And then this. And again, I'm not saying he wanted this to happen, but at what point do you take a step back and say, do I need to be a little bit less self-involved here? Like, do I need to approach this from a more, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, but just eat a little crow, eat a little humble pie, you know? Maybe you don't have all the answers. Maybe you're not always right. Does that never cross anyone's mind? Like, I offend somebody at a cocktail party, and I'm thinking about it for 3 months saying, maybe I'm getting a little full of myself. Maybe I could learn to be a little... Does no one else have any self-reflection in Hollywood? I mean,
no.
He just shot a woman and he's like, I have really bad dreams. I've been rolling over all night. I haven't gotten a good 8 hours in quite some time. It's like, do you hear yourself?
His damn kids that he's got to take care of.
And not to mention the cat got loose.
Right.
To be fair, he does have Hilaria to worry about, and she does seem like she is a handful, to put it mildly. All right, when we get back, more hilarity in the news. I'm not making fun of what happened there, but Alec Baldwin is such a joke. When we get back, we're going to talk about Jussie Smollett. The trial takes another strange twist. Don't go anywhere.